All right, welcome to the CMP, which stands for CRO and Publisher. I am here with Mark Medici, our publisher of The Express News, and Kate Weber, our CRO of The Express News. And I am your host, Sarah Bryant, and I am the Senior Director of Marketing at The Express News.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Mark. Let's start with a little bit about what we're doing here and that this is your brainchild, because I think for a few years since you've been the CRO, you've talked to me about wanting to reach the community and the community influencers. And in terms of the tone and the way that you wanted to do it, you wanted to build a unique voice. And I think that it's taken me a while to get there and to find sort of the format that we wanted to talk through. And I don't even know how it happened that we landed on this CMP brand, if you will. But I think that it's important that you kind of say, like, where this came from in your mind, the motivation behind it.
Well, I think it stems back to why I got into this business in the first place, meaning the media business and the importance of it, is that it is about people helping people, not only from an advertising, let me help you build your business perspective, but also in that advertising is content. And so by us being able to, meaning in advertising, connect our advertisers' brands with the communities that they serve, strengthens the overall community by strengthening the business and strengthening the options that our community has to shop or find a new car or find a job, you know, all the things that are additive to somebody's life within a specific community. For me, that comes with conversation. So it's really important that I understand where people are coming from, what their business goals are, what we learn about the community, and try to connect those two things so that it's real and it's something that we can measure and really help people, whether you're a business owner or an organization leader, or if you're a reader of one of our products, you feel more connected to the community and have a pathway to success.
Yeah. So from the business standpoint, that is the pillar in which you represent.
Yep.
And then you have Mark, who from a journalist place, from an overall CEO perspective, which is really what the publisher does, that is, you know, because it's like, publisher, what does that even mean for people that aren't in the business?
Yeah.
The CEO is really the publisher's role.
Yeah.
And so you have oversight into the revenue, but then you also have this dialogue that you have with editorial. And sometimes when those are brought together, you get into a space that is not public facing, that's really given you a different perspective on the business.
Yeah, I mean, I think that similar to Kate and I and you, right? We have spent our entire careers in this space, and I'm super proud of that. And I think I enjoy both sides of our business equally. I enjoy the advertiser interaction, and I love what we do on the newsroom side. And I would say, you know, on the newsroom side is probably my true passion. Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised inside of this medium. You know, I talk about my grandfather. He was a publisher for 44 years, and he was a publisher during the time when, like, newspapers, you know, they were everything. You know, I remember Ronald Reagan as a little kid coming to the Oregonian and sitting with the editorial board and my grandfather being there. And because that was the outlet. And I think today, I think Kate really hit on something that I think is critical. I do think that, you know, our business is under has gone through a lot of transformation. And mm-hmm. I think some people at times think of that transformation in a negative way. And I really don't at all. I think all businesses transform. And mm-hmm. like, do we have fewer people reading the print product? Yeah, we do. But we have 10 times more people reading the digital product. And the fact of the matter is that they're coming to us because across the other side of this wall, we have 110 journalists that do just amazing work in the community on a day in and day out basis. And I think when we talk to advertisers about one of the things that differentiates the Express News from other mediums that they can choose to use as a marketing vehicle is that I do very strongly believe in my core that the 110 journalists make our community better. Mm-hmm. And I think being owned by Hearst and on some levels being insulated from some of the downward pressures to shrink newsrooms across the country, we've been able to kind of fight against that. And I think that we're very lucky in San Antonio to have 110 people independently combing the streets on a day in and day out basis, kind of making this community better. And I say to advertisers all the time, like, listen, you can advertise with other mediums, but when you advertise with us, we're going to take the dollars that you spend with us and we're going to reinvest and grow journalism in our community. And isn't that a good thing?
Right.
And I think that, you know, for most of the people that do business with us, I think the answer to that is, yeah. I mean, they don't always like being, some of them don't like ending up in a newspaper for something that maybe is like on a net promoter score, maybe a negative. But, you know, as I say to many people who call me when they're like, oh, I don't like that story. I'm like, well, call me the 17 other times that we write something that really benefits you as well. Yeah. And I think that that's the beauty of kind of the yin and the yang between both sides of the of the business. And yeah, I'm super passionate about both sides, but you know, I very much believe in the sanctity of the newsroom and what it does for a community.
Yeah. I think it's cool too, because you went to school for journalism. No?
No.
I thought you did.
I know. It feels like it's such a part of my core. I started in, I was the editor of my high school newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The Tiger Roar in Fairview, Pennsylvania.
The Tiger Roar. Yeah. That is a beautiful name.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, which is such a shame. And we can talk about that at a later period of time. You know, how do you get the younger individuals into this business? Because it is so critically important.
Next session.
But I did work at my college newspaper, the Pitt News. It was a 7-time-a-week daily newspaper. Clearly, that's why it was 7 times a week. And I loved it. But I actually went to school. I have a psych degree and a biology and chemistry minor. Went to school to be a doctor, which is probably why I'm so data-driven, much like yourself.
Yeah.
I think you're data-driven, too.
Yeah.
And I really like to see how I can solve a problem.
Yeah.
So as you were talking about your early days and how you got started, where it was part of your family's fabric, my mom was my advisor when I was the editor of the Tiger Roar. So she got me into it at a very young age. And I saw the articles that I got to write impact people.
Yeah.
I would walk down the hallway and they'd be like, hey, like that was pretty good. And and I wasn't very good, but they were very kind. But it made an impact.
Yes.
And the way it made an impact was that when people read similar stories, they start to understand that they're not alone in anything that they do. They're part of a larger community and they can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I got started.
Yeah.
And then also from a perspective of really liking to see results from anything that I embark upon, I go back to where I started my professional career, which was in Boulder, Colorado, after I graduated from college and packed up my car and drove to Boulder to see what I could see. I worked at the Daily Camera and I started as an inside sales representative. And one of our jobs was to work with political candidates and help them convey why they should be elected to office. And I remember feeling to myself like, oh my gosh, like I just graduated from college and this person who is a career politician is asking me to recommend to them the messaging, where I would place the advertising, any creative ideas that I have in order for them to fulfill their dream.
Right.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
You got bitten.
I did.
Yeah. There's a certain, I talk about this with some people about the adrenaline junkie that's like in us all that are in this industry, but that it's safe and it's like an impact junkie versus, because we put out a product every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, Starbucks is the only person who basically puts out a product every day like we do. Like, it's just a heavy turn, right? You're constantly on deadline. You're constantly thinking about what's next. What do I have to do next? How do I handle tomorrow's newspaper, right? It's the daily miracle. So I think that that energy, like, you get bitten by that experience in this industry. And then when you're a person that's in it, you're in it. And you just can't ever leave it.
And to your point earlier, it's not just a daily miracle anymore. You know, we're running thousands of digital campaigns.
Right.
It's a second.
Minute by minute.
I would say even second by second.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, like, how are we performing? We have dashboards that allow us to understand the interaction of all of our advertising. And I think you have the same thing from an editorial perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just great operators. I think people who are in this business have tremendous work ethic. You have to pay attention to the details. I mean, we're, you know, on the print cycle, to your point on the digital cycle, we're basically running a print newspaper for 22 and a half hours a day. There's only about an hour and a half of time where there's not something moving from a print perspective, right?
Right.
And really the same is very much true now in the digital ecosystem. And I think the innate kind of coming up in this, I think it's what separates us from other mediums, is that people who work here understand it is, you know, it's trite to say it's a 24/7, but it really is.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think from an advertising perspective, I think what differentiates us is that we treat our advertisers' campaign in a 24/7 type of environment. It's not a get the sale, place it, and then hopefully report out on it at the end of the month. We are constantly tweaking campaign performance indicators. We're looking at them to make sure the audiences that the advertisers are looking for, that we're attracting those audiences or getting people's advertisements in front of them. And I think it stems from a work ethic that people have inside of publishing, because it was always like that. It was always like that. So whether it was the print-centric environment or now the digital-centric environment, you know, the news cycle on the editorial side never stops. Never stops. But I think that's what makes us special, and I think that's why the audience is so big. I think they come to us because they know that if something happens at 11:15 in San Antonio, that we're going to have a point of view on that.
Yeah.
And whether that's on expressnews.com or MySA, I think that's incredible. I think it's incredible to have that type of trust from 400,000 people come to our site every day. And I think it's not habitual. I think it's that people trust us.
Yeah.
And they know that we're up and we're going to tell the story regardless of where we are. And it's awesome to say that to an advertiser. And it's awesome to show it to them from a performance and metrics perspective as well.
Yeah. I remember getting bit by the bug, like we were talking about. I was in Atlanta, and that's, you know, where I cut my teeth. Mark and I knew each other there. But I was in training, and the reporter Davis, he came in and he was talking to us about how in the middle of a hurricane, he delivered newspapers because he could get through to the other side of where the tree had like fallen on the street. And I remember thinking, that's what I want to be a part of. I love that he, in the time of like this huge emergency, said, I'm still going to do a job to deliver to the public what they need to know. Mm-hmm. And I loved that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love getting bitten by the bug. That's cool. Okay, so let's shift gears for a minute. Let's talk a little bit about what we've got going on that's new. So I think that the weather is something that drives every day, right? Every day we're worried about the weather. It determines what we wear. It determines, do we drive in? Do we take this road versus this road? But I think that the investment that we have made in weather, both from an advertiser standpoint and from a publishing standpoint, is huge. And I'd love to hear that vantage point from you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it first from kind of an audience perspective. I think the coolest thing that's happening with our business is that because we have such a large audience, we have so much input now. We have so many inputs in terms of what drives a behavior, right? So prior to having Anthony and going through this weather initiative, even very casual weather reporting on MySA or on ExpressNews.com really hit. So I'd be lying to you 18 months ago if I thought we would have an on-staff meteorologist who was doing the work that Anthony is doing. But it just was it worked out, and it's been incredible from a metrics perspective. Our weather content leads almost on a day in and day out basis, unless we have a breaking news initiative that isn't weather related. But the amount of traffic that it's driving and the receiving it from the audience, I also think that we're differentiating it from other weather providers because Anthony is taking, a more kind of granular approach to the effect of the heat on the water table and how that affects everyone in San Antonio. Yeah. He does a lot of work on all of the very highs and lows that are either coming in from the Midwest or coming off of the Gulf. So it's also not a commercialized weather product, which I think the audience is super responding to. Like he'll talk about that he is a meteorologist. He's a geek.
I know, I love it.
And and it's incredible. So it's been a huge oh my God, you're so stupid. You should have been doing this 10 years ago, right? Because you have those moments. You're like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you should have been doing this for a long time. It's been a huge win for us, which is great.
I love everything he's putting out when he's like out in the parking lot talking about the car, and he's like, you know, your temperature gauge only tells you so much, and you're like, oh, I just love this. And of course, you know, it's database too, which I think is really cool. So from an advertiser perspective, that everyday routine, that's also valuable from a brand's engagement point of view.
Well, that in itself solves a really large problem that most advertisers have today, which is how do you, at scale, find an engaged target audience? And this is a really impactful way for somebody to align their brand to a reliable audience that's engaged. They're going to want to understand what's being said. And they really then appreciate the individual who is bringing it to them, who is sponsoring it, who's helping to make it possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a really good opportunity for anybody, which is most advertisers,
right,
who are looking for an engaged audience that's large.
Right. I mean, they're that ritual, that repeat. I mean, that's what we talk about in marketing every day, right? Everyday reach. So I think that the weather is something so cool that we're doing. I'm so excited to have Anthony. And then just the broader Texas weather team with Roberto. And,
yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So on that vein, we have Top Workplaces, which is our event coming up next week at Top Golf. And so I think that is an interesting program that we do because it actually combines, right, like both departments in terms of the editorial and the advertising into this amazing celebration of top workplaces, but also top places to work, right? Because they're doing what's right for the employees. They're doing what's right in terms of how their employees feel about their brands. So I'm wondering, like, are there highlights? Are you excited about the event coming up? Are there, you know, things that we can showcase in terms of this community impact of that program from a journalism perspective?
Well, what I'll say, it's very difficult to become a top workplace.
Yes.
So kudos to all of those employers that have made the commitment to make sure that their places of work are ones in which people feel like they can thrive and be their very best selves. For those who don't know, it's literally a survey in regards to how people who work for an organization feel about that organization, culturally, room for advancement, feeling as though they're supported at work. And, you know, all of us spend more time at work than we do anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so that's critically important. Yeah. And when we feel like we are fulfilled by the work that we do and that our company supports us, that just makes our work, makes us perform at a much higher level. Right. Than if you're in a place where you don't want to be. So I congratulate all of the top employers who made top workplaces this year. Yeah. I love meeting with them. I love understanding their story. I love hearing about their commitment. And I think it's just a great way that through us showcasing these employers that are top, it really helps our community find their next career. Mm-hmm. And when they find their next career, our entire community just becomes that much stronger.
Yeah.
So I love it from all those aspects.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a great golfer, though. So
I think you golfed in heels last year.
I did, which is part of the problem.
Okay. So
maybe I'll practice a little bit more this time.
I think it was great. It was a great look. I loved it. Good shoes. That is one thing about Kate Weber.
Yes.
Good shoes.
Yeah, good shoe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Supreme shoe game.
Supreme shoe game. we also have Her Slap next week.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you should talk about that one.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love that program.
Yeah, it's actually incredible. You know, without getting, I could do a whole podcast on our Hearst experience with Hearst. You know, we're owned by Hearst. Eve Burton, who is general counsel, founded the lab right around 7 years ago. She identified a gap in the marketplace where only 2.5% of all venture capital or private equity startup money was going to female entrepreneurs. And she created Hearst Lab just out of nothing. She went to the CEO of Hearst. Steve is an amazing leader and he funded her vision. And now we're going to be hosting an event at the Tobin on the 18th of October. It'll be our second annual where we're supporting the San Antonio startup ecosystem. 200 people will be at the Tobin for a pitch competition that is just strictly for female entrepreneurs. We had over 375 applicants. Last year, we gave out three $100,000 grants. It was the largest pitch event from a seed money perspective in the history of the city. And it was our first time that we were in it. So one of the things about being owned by Hearst is that they deeply invest in the communities that they support journalism in. So the Hearst Foundation does a ton of grant work inside mm-hmm. of San Antonio. Nearly $1 million a year from the Hearst Foundation is given to various nonprofits in San Antonio from a grant writing perspective, which is just another way I think that the paper kind of supports the community. So the women we have on stage in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. It's mind-numbing.
I am so excited.
It's mind-numbing how bright they are. And I think the cool thing is, I have a daughter who's a junior in college and Kate has, a rising teen daughter who's almost going to be ready to go to college next year. And I think it is, I think the equaling of the playing field is, it's not only so long overdue, but now that it's kind of arrived, it is awesome to see. Like it is, it's so natural. You know, you think about these opportunities for women in general that have really kind of come up in the last 10 to 15 years. And, you know, I just am super proud to be a part of an organization to support that type of movement. Cause we live that movement here, right? Yeah. I'm sitting with you two, right?
Yes.
I mean, 53% of our 53% of our employee population are women.
Yeah.
55% of our executive team, manager and up, are women. So, you know, for us to support Hearst Lab, I think it would be really false if we didn't have an organization that embraced the same type of really kind of both gender and people of color diversity. I think we're super strong in both areas. I'm really, really, really proud of that. Yeah. And I cannot wait for 2 weeks. We have, you know, we're doing a luncheon on the same day. We have Katie Harvey from KGB, and she's you know, chairing up the chamber right now is going to be at the luncheon on a panel with Eve. And so is Rosie Castro. I mean, when you think of like powerful women in the United States, we are really, really lucky to have Rosie Castro. Like, she cut her teeth in San Antonio, right? I mean, she is just an absolute pioneer. So I think the luncheon prior to the pitch event is going to be, I think the energy is going to be off the hook. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be unbelievable.
I loved last year. I mean, I walked away because the setup is very much a Shark Tank type approach, right? So the pitch, you're just like on pins and needles, like, what are you going to pitch? What are you going to say? And then the panel questions back are so thoughtful about shaping their business. And I feel like you mentioned Eve, like, I feel like that's one of her huge strengths is to just like shape these businesses entirely in one question. And I just, I loved being there and experiencing that last year. So I'm so excited.
Me too.
Okay, so you mentioned Hearst as a parent. We've talked a lot about sort of impact, history, future, and that we have a printed product, we have a digital product. But I think one of the things that we're shaping, both from the editorial standpoint and the advertising standpoint, is this audience that we have that is affected. That's our impact, right? In terms of what we put out there and then what they're engaging with and then what we're able to serve from a business standpoint to those engaged readers. So I don't know if you want to talk about the future, if you will, about
my goodness, just my crystal ball.
I know there's there's so much in this, but I just feel like we're touching on it and we're like almost there. We're dancing around it a little bit. So let's like talk about it.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay.
So when I think about the couple of decades that I've been in this business, if not a little bit more, it has shifted so much in terms of what we're able to help our advertisers with. And that's what's so exciting about working at Hearst. To Mark's point earlier, that the investment in journalists has not waned. In fact, it's just continued to grow, really does allow for us to have content in the marketplace that then creates first-party data. So this is where I might lose some people. But basically, but basically, as the digital ecosystem becomes more invested in privacy laws and in the things that people are comfortable with as a digital consumer, first party data becomes more and more important. And so our advertisers are really going to struggle if they don't have a source where they can directly speak to the consumers who are most interested in their product or service. And that's where we come in. And that's what's so, I don't want to say heartwarming, but I just said heartwarming, but that's what really makes me excited about working at Hearst, is that we are able to not only have the content that means the most to the individuals within the community, we can also then allow our advertisers the ability to tell their story to that community so that they can thrive. And so the days of essentially just being able to buy traffic and have it provide a lift for you to your website are really going to be not the best way to go in the future. And so it makes me feel very proud that we're going to be the very best solution for advertisers moving forward. We weren't in that same position 20, 25 years ago. And in light of that, what also makes it super important that we have this opportunity for our advertisers is just how much fragmentation has been occurring. There's podcasts like this that pop up every single day, right? And in some cases, perhaps your message should be associated with them, but how do you know? We're experts in that because we are such a broad company of so many diversified products. We want to understand what your challenges are. We'll compare those to what we understand we believe the challenges are, what the market is telling us, and then we'll handcraft a solution that will really get you the better, very best results. And if it's at any point waning, we're going to pivot and we're going to make sure that we're communicating with you in terms of what it is that we're doing. And you'll see the results on the back end in your Google Analytics form fills or however we've designated success to show up in a physical form for you.
Yeah. I feel like in some ways the preparation of the first party data is the crystal ball, mm-hmm. right? Like you're like, I need to get out my crystal ball. But I mean, preparing this is the crystal ball mm-hmm. because having a solution in place that mitigates that for advertisers is huge. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness we prepped for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. It's changing so quickly mm-hmm. as well. The off-platform content creation is rapidly accelerating. So whether you're on Instagram, Facebook Reels, or TikTok, that's going to continue now to disrupt what's happening on the web from a first-party perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, I mean, Hearst, we have access to the Hearst Digital First-Party Network, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the fourth largest provider of first-party data in the United States. So, like, when you... as a companion mm-hmm. to Express News and MyEssay, we're easily the largest advertising marketplace in San Antonio. It's not even close because of Hearst. I mean, MyEssay and Express News are giant to begin with, but when you add on top of it the first party network that we have access to, like if someone is in Bernie and they're reading Cosmo.com, we have access to that audience in a first party way, mm-hmm. right? So I think the power of being owned by Hearst and being able to reach your targeted audience, the advertiser's targeted audience, is gigantic. I think the other thing that complicates it from and what makes first party so important is that right around 80% of all impressions in the United States are on mobile now, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. from a first party perspective, and you're dealing with such a small screen size, you have to be able to, one, be able to make an impression, and two, you have to be able to get the data that you're making that impression on. So I think that being owned by Hearst and having their support in terms of the way that this whole thing is shifting on mm-hmm. everybody from a third party to a first party type of universe, I don't think it's the crystal ball, but I think it definitely... it's nice to have a leg up on the competition after, you know,
one crystal,
you know, after so many other mediums would kind of negatively sell against the newspaper. Oh, they're declining. I think it's really nice now to sit here and say, hey, we're the largest provider of first party audiences in San Antonio. And that's not judged by us. That's judged by any neutral source of purveyor of information, whether it's Scarborough, Comscore, mm-hmm. Simple Web, like any of those platforms tell our story. I don't need to tell the story. The story is being told for us. So that, does that feel good?
It does.
Yeah, it feels.
Listen,
it
from feels this awesome. Seat in yeah. marketing, yeah. it absolutely yeah, feels good.
And we should be proud of that.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we should be proud of. I think it's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast
yeah.
is to talk about kind of the success that we're seeing and the growth that we're experiencing. So yeah, I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And it's leveraging the strength of what we're built on is content, right? So yeah. in terms of people coming and reading what they want to read, that still remains organic. And then you come in and you have the organic experience of what they may be interested in from a brand perspective. Mm-hmm. And so it creates such a nice journey.
I mean, Sarah, we tell Kate and I, mm-hmm. well, we do these meetings with advertisers. And, you know, there are a few things that we repeat over and over and over again because they are kind of so unbelievable, but they're also so rewarding. Like in the very height of COVID during a nursing crisis, mm-hmm. one of our advertisers in this city had to turn off their recruitment campaign with us because we had filled their entire nursing coffer from a recruiting perspective. I mean, that's super powerful,
yeah.
right? I mean, that is, when you have the right advertiser selecting the right audiences and you put them on the right platform, those are the things that happen.
And well, it's impacting community.
I think it affects community. I also think it demystifies some of the hocus pocus in kind of the digital advertising world. I think a lot of people can talk a good game, but I think delivering on the game that they that they're talking about is totally different. And I think it's, you know, we have 87% of our advertisers retain. There's a lot of good stuff happening.
Agreed.
There's a lot of good stuff
happening.
We do deliver.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we look at it, right? We go back to the drawing board and talk about what actually could be there.
Well, that's another differentiator that was really born out of understanding what our advertisers do need, which is to fully understand what part of their advertising dollar is really generating a result for them. What's that old adage? You know, I know advertising works. I just don't know which half.
Which half? Yeah.
You don't need to live that way anymore. We have created an entire team of individuals that not only fulfill and optimize as the campaign is going, but very simply can take the reporting that they're seeing and be able to convey, hey, here's what I would do more of. Here's where we're really seeing some lift. And then we probably should consider that one of these elements or this message, doing A-B testing, the B's not working so well, so let's put more money into A. And that gives you peace of mind that your money is being used as an investment, not only back into the community, but into your own business so that it can operate at its very highest level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's people that do that, right?
Yeah.
It's not dashboards. We have them.
Yes.
But we don't expect you to be able to look into them and say, hey, I get this. That's our job.
Right.
We're going to review it and we'll do some custom reporting. We'll do some advanced analytics work with whomever you need to make sure that you fully understand what's happening within your campaign and its ecosystem.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that the personal touch that and or the team that's behind that they're so brilliant in terms of looking at that dashboard and then pivoting or making different applications, different targeting to make it even more successful is a natural instinct that they also have, right? So it's not just a robot that they're thinking about, you know, parents being at the playground, being on their phone while kids run around amok. And that time is spent on mobile and that you target to those playgrounds. I mean, who else does that?
Yeah.
Who else has that natural inclination to say that's where we should be with your message?
We're curious by nature.
Yes. I'm very curious.
Yeah, we tell people, right, our targeting is so precise, it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really is fascinating how when you have the right team and you have the right technology and you have the right data, how powerful it is to be able to place a message in such a discreet way.
Yeah.
It is really, really wild.
And I actually love, I know that people talk about, you know, targeting is a little creepy. Like, oh, I was just talking about that dog food and now I'm, but I love it. Okay.
Yeah,
I feel like, yeah, you're right. I do want to try that dog food.
Might be because you're in marketing.
It might be. Yeah. But I do. I think that it's awesome. Like, okay, you're connecting the dots for me and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So today, this was all about setting the stage and introducing RCMP podcast to the community of San Antonio. But next time, and it may not be Mark and Kate that are sitting here with me hosting and Q&A-ing. It may be some other personalities that come on board and talk about the different perspectives within our business and within our community. But next time, we are going to talk about prepping for Q1 and the many ways that we can help in doing that, but also what we're doing on the inside, little insider scoop. I look forward to touching on social, maybe some more case studies in which we talk about like OTT and CTV and where we're going in the future so that we can help in Q1 with the business.
No, I just think this is the beginning of a great series. I just hope that when people listen to this, they get a greater appreciation for how much we do care about the community and how we can help them.